Well, good morning, everyone. Well, our numbers are a little low, but I hope that doesn't affect the singing because I'm looking forward to a good singing service. So y'all, we're just going to have to make up for it. That's all there is to it. So let's stand and let's turn to page 55 and let's sing our hearts out for the Lord. At the cross, alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let's sing the second and then the last. Was it for crimes that I have done, He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this morning. I'd ask the church to please pray for the Holland family. They've left and went to the house in Austin. It appears that Austin has died. And we don't know any details, don't know any of the situation. But please pray for them. There's been some folks go to them. And, of course, I'll be going to them as soon as we say amen this morning. So please pray for the family. In fact, let's go to the throne of grace on their behalf. Father, we bow before you, and Lord, our heart is troubled, of course. We hurt for the Holland family. We don't understand. We don't know what has taken place. We don't know at all what's happened. But Lord, we're just thankful that you're a God of mercy, God of grace. Lord, as we consider your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of comfort, we're thankful that we can ask that you would enter in by your Spirit to minister to that family. Lord, I'm grateful, even in these days, that what you had been doing in Austin's life, Lord, that he'd once again affirmed his faith in you. Father, again, we pray for Doug and Cecilia, all the children. Lord, draw close to them, I pray. And ask you, Father, for your help here for the church family, that we'd be what we ought to be for them, that we would indeed be faithful to hold them up in prayer. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Might we forego this morning the shaking of hands, and as we go on to sing another song, brother, pick another song for us, would you? And that we might just sing of the grace of God.
be mindful of family, please. You may be seated. Let's turn to page 201. Sorry, I'll get there here in just a moment.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus. More of His love, longness see. More of His love, who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne. More sin glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase. More of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness seen, more of His love who died for me.
I was going to sing, reach out to Jesus. And of course, please be in prayer for the Holland family. But the Lord puts all things together, and even though our hearts are heavy, we want to sing this song for you.
Thank you.
stand once more and turn to 337.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no
Lord, laid this song on my heart earlier today. Please pray for me as I sing His Eyes on the Sparrow. Would y'all sing this with me? It's page 198. Let's take the first verse real slow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for help and hope when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He wants.
touches. Amen.
You don't know it's exactly the right thing to do when something like this happens. Just pray that God would be pleased to give us discernment, give us understanding, help us. I know that God's Word is still true. I know that God is on His throne. And I know He loves His children. And just a word in the last couple weeks, Austin has been sharing some things with his mom about his salvation. He's confident that indeed he knew the Lord. And if you were here Wednesday, it was Wednesday morning. Cecilia had called me and she said, "Preacher, Austin wanting to come to church tonight." And when he's sitting right there on the front row, the chapel. And so I'm thankful that God's pleased to do some things along the way for that mom and dad, beloved, to encourage them concerning their son. And I'm asking you this morning, if you would, to turn to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. You found your place there in reverence to the Word of God. Would you stand with me? Jeremiah chapter 6. Kind of a tough message to preach today, but pray God be pleased to enter in and help us. We begin reading in verse 9 of Jeremiah 6, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Father, we bow before you today and we ask for your help. Lord, I feel impressed to preach as you would direct and lead. Lord, our hearts are heavy. Our minds are on the Hollands and what they're dealing with. But Lord, please work and help us right here. Lord, I pray that we will be encouraged, but also what we might be challenged as the people of God. We as Metropolitan Baptist Church would be challenged in these days to be the light on this hill that we ought to be, that we'd be the salt in this community that you'd have us to be. And Father, we love you. We love you today. And we're thankful that you're a God that loves His children, loves your people. Bless, I pray. Help us in Jesus' name, for Jesus' glory. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Beloved, we talk a lot these days about the situation, the condition of things in our nation at this time. You know, it baffles me. It seems rather ridiculous and certainly a shame that we would be living in a time when there needs to be a discussion over what marriage is. I mean, it seems absurd that we have to discuss or determine, sort out what marriage is. And by the way, so you just won't be confused about that, as designed, marriage is defined by God as a union between one man and one woman. It's not a human invention, and it's not for humans to define or to redefine. It is a holy thing that should be honored just as it was given to us. And I make that point only to emphasize the absurdity of the days in which we live. Right and wrong are being turned literally upside down. In Isaiah chapter 5, in verse 20, the Holy Spirit says through Isaiah the prophet, "Woe unto them. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It seems that this time around, this election cycle, politicians are trying their best to avoid talking about abortion and such things. They don't want to even enter into that discussion, save probably for the former senator from Pennsylvania. But beloved, how can a Christian not be concerned about human life? How can a Christian not be concerned about how our leaders would deal with the issue of human life? How can I, if I say I'm a Christian, that means someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, vote for someone who would fight for the right to kill babies? That said, I'm even more troubled. Troubles me far more when we, the people of God, have allowed ourselves to drift so far from the old path. The old paths, those well-trodden paths of days gone by. Trustworthy paths. Paths that we could rely on that have been deserted in many ways. I'm afraid that we're just not the salt and the light that God has designed us to be. And that as the Lord Jesus Christ commanded us to be. Now, we're not going to deal this morning with that passage in Matthew where the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we would be, should be, need to be that salt and light. But suffice it to say this morning that wherever salt and light are, they have an influence where they're applied. Salt makes a difference, regardless of whether it's good for me or not. Salt does make a difference where it is applied. It's not hard to distinguish between light and darkness. It's easy when the lights come on to distinguish between the two. And I understand that the Bible tells us that as we come into these last days, as Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. But beloved, let me ask you, should the people of God be silent on these things? Should we not be those that will speak up to be that difference? That we, as the salt by its nature makes that difference, as the light, because it's light, distinguishes itself from darkness. Are we not, as those who are the blood-bought children of God, to make an impact, to make a difference in this world in which we live? We must speak up. Verse 17 of our passage, God said to Jeremiah, "Also, I set watchmen over you," speaking of the nation of Israel, "saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." The people of God, Israel, refused to listen. In chapter 3 of Jeremiah, chapter 3 of Ezekiel, forgive me if my concentration is not quite what it should be today. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, God the Holy Spirit speaking to Ezekiel said, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." Why? Why would God do that? If we don't warn. If we don't speak up. If we don't warn of the impending danger. Folks, blood is on our hands. Ezekiel goes on, "Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." We must indeed give the warning. Let me ask you, just where does God say judgment will begin? Right here. Right here. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. Peter writes and says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." Beloved, if we don't speak up, if we don't do right, what will happen to the world? Peter goes on to say, "And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Beloved, we must speak up. We must take up our responsibility. Why? Why is a situation so bad? Why is it seemingly worse at every day? Because we would hold our mouth. Because we have forsaken the old paths. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm a Christian, number one. But I'm not ashamed to claim the name Baptist. But you know, we don't hear things, some of the things we used to hear about Baptists. Used to be said that those Baptists, you know, they're just too strict about so much. Huh? Oh, those old Baptists, they're so strict about their music and their entertainment, the dancing and the movie and the movies, I mean, and how you ought to dress. But you know what? We don't hear that too much anymore. We don't hear it hardly at all. Why? Because we've got off the path. We've got off those old paths. We're trying to go on the same path that the world's taken. And we're paying the price for it. We desperately need to return to the old paths. And briefly today, I'd like us to look at just a few and some that we hear of or intimated in, even in this passage. And beloved, we need to get back to the biblical gospel. We need to get back to the path of a biblical gospel and quit trying to keep up with what the world would tell us we ought to be preaching and what we ought not to be preaching, what subjects we ought to deal with and what subjects we ought to leave alone. We need, beloved, the message of the cross in these days. Back in Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, Jeremiah writes and he says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them a reproach. They have no delight in it." The message of the cross is a message, beloved, of warning. It's a message of impending judgment. The message of the cross is the message of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, "But we preach Christ crucified." And later in the second chapter, Paul wrote in verse 2, he says, "For I determined," the idea is I made up my mind, I have committed myself, "I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The cross is a message of warning, beloved, but it's also a message of salvation. It's a message of sacrifice. It's a message, beloved, that we need to get back to in these days. That enough of the mumbo jumbo, make me feel good gospel that is so popular today. We need the clear message of the cross and the soul cleansing blood of the cross. We need to be honest with folk. You hear me? We need to be honest with folk that they're going to spend eternity under the wrath and the judgment of God lest they turn to the cross. When we quit preaching the cross, we're no longer fit to call ourselves Christian. Huh? We need the message of the cross. We need the life-changing gospel message. The life-changing gospel message. In verse 15 of Jeremiah 6, we read this where it says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination?" Hey, beloved, this is written to God's people. Jeremiah was talking to the people of Judah. God's people. And he says, "Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein." And he goes on. What happened to the preaching of the changed life? The changed life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, those familiar words of the Apostle Paul. I probably sound like a broken record, but beloved, we need to hear it. Where Paul said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new." What's that talking about? A changed life. Today we have a message of the gospel that basically says, come anyway or come the way you are and go home the same. I'm thankful that I approach the cross as a guilty sinner, but I leave the cross changed. As one that's been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, washed and made clean, given a new life, a new creation in Him. We need the life-changing message of the gospel. I wonder today why there's such a gap between what this book says is a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ and what we see in professing Christianity today. I believe it's because we're not preaching the changed life. Hey, when you believe, there's supposed to be a forsaking. The Bible says to repent, that means to grieve, to turn away from sin, and forsake. Yeah, there's not much of that today, is there? Oh, you can, don't worry about your sin, we hear today. Don't worry about their sin. No. Beloved, God worried enough about my sin to sacrifice His own beloved Son, to put His Son to death, so that what? I could have not the old life, not the same old Jim, but a brand new life in Christ. We need to preach the changed life. Today our message is being conformed to people rather than people being conformed to the message. Dear ones, God's Word still contains the message of the changed life. And we need to preach that changed life. But thirdly, as far as the message of the cross, of the biblical gospel, thirdly, we need a committed gospel ministry. A committed gospel ministry. Today, we've got professionals. We've got professional ministers. The pastorate's nothing more than a profession rather than a calling from God. They're hired by people and they worry about whether they're pleasing people. The professional is concerned that everything has that polished and pleasing package. Their preaching is certainly not going to make anyone feel uncomfortable. It's not going to disturb anyone. They're not going to preach anything controversial. Oh my, I don't like to preach something controversial. Seems like God just keeps sticking me right in the middle of things. So be it. Their message is peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace. Hey, these false preachers were preaching peace, peace, when there was no peace. Listen to it says. It says in verse 13, "For from the least of them unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone is dealing falsely." Money preachers we have today. Those that are seeking position and rank rather than seeking to please God. We've got, I don't want to go down this road too far, but folks, today we've got those that are seeking to be cool rather than Christ-like. They're wanting to fit in, you know, the latest norms and all that. Hey, I'm here to please God. So I said a few weeks ago, I stand behind this holy desk under the watchful eye of a holy God. We desperately need some Jeremiahs that would cry out against the wickedness that surrounds us. Look, if you would, back to Jeremiah chapter 4. Listen to this from Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 1. "If thou wilt return," again the pleading words of the prophet. He says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt but put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Oh, beloved, might we pray, God, please break up the fallow ground. What's fallow ground? It's ground that's been left untilled. It's ground that's been left to itself. It's ground that's been left to grow hard and unreceptive to the seed.
Beloved, I'm praying in these days. God might be pleased to enter in and break up the fallow ground. He might be pleased to prepare our hearts to receive from Him. I need Him in these days. I don't know about you. I need God to enter in and do in my heart to break up the hardness of the soil that His seed might be sown there and produce for His glory fruit untold. Oh God, please, in these days, break up the fallow ground. But then, secondly, beloved, we need the path of a biblical Bible. We return to the path of a biblical Bible. I'm weary even talking about this, and it may sound like a silly statement, but will you just stick with me for a minute? Listen to what the Bible says about itself. In Psalm 119 and verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." In Psalm chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7, the psalmist writes there and he says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God will keep His word, but He holds us responsible in that. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Let me ask you, as we read that, does it sound like God's concerned about His word? Yes, He is. Listen to what the Bible says about the individual words of the Scriptures. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God." In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18, the Lord Jesus said, "Till heaven and earth pass, not one jot nor tittle." It means the very punctuation marks and the vowel points in the Hebrew that will not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What are you getting at here, preacher? Well, I'll just spit it right out. You can't trust any of these modern translations. Modern perversions. Forgive me. I don't call them Bibles at all. Tell you the truth. You say, "Boy, you're rough. I'm sorry." I don't want a partial Bible. God takes it serious when you mess with His Word. In chapter 22 of the Revelation, in verses 18 and 19, you've heard these verses. Listen to them again. There it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." Don't be adding to the word of God. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." Don't be taken away from the Word of God. The new perversions are horrible in what they add to and take away. I'm not overemphasizing that a bit. Listen to what they've done to the New Testament alone. The New King James Bible omits 2,289 words. The New International Version omits 5,219 words and omits 16 verses. So popular in these days, is it not? The New American Standard Version adds 3,561 words but omits 17 verses. New Revised Standard Version omits 3,890 words and omits 18 verses. And of course, we wouldn't even count the Living Bible as a Bible, but it adds 17,003 words, but yet omits 7 verses. Let me ask you a simple question. From what the Bible says about the Bible, do you think those perversion, translation, whatever you want to call them, are God blessed? I don't believe so. I believe they're cursed of God. We need a complete Bible. A complete Bible. We're living, beloved, in deplorable times. I need, you need all of the Word of God. We need to have confidence in our Bible. Satan's first recorded words were what? Yea, hath God said. What's that all about? Huh? He's trying to create doubts concerning what? The Word of God. Create doubt concerning the Word of God. This divine book, the King James Bible, been used of God to see literally millions brought to Christ into His kingdom. The great awakening sprang out of this, out of the preaching of this Bible. The modern mission movement was birthed in the hearts of men who used this Bible. Missionaries for generations left the field of English-speaking countries with a King James Bible under their arm. And what do we have today? We've got washed out Bibles and washed out Christians. Is it any wonder there's so little emphasis on the true gospel and the true message of the gospel? Well, thirdly and lastly this morning, we need to return to the path of a consecrated life. Let me just say this. If there's any question, any misunderstanding about what I've even said about the Bible, I'd be glad. There's men here in this church. We'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about how important the King James Bible still is. And what the mess, the real mess, the problems are with the modern translations. But we also need to return to the path of a biblical consecration. We read a little bit ago in chapter 6, verse 10, where it said this. The prophet saying, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. We need a renewed consecration for the things of God. What does that mean, preacher? Here we read a moment ago that their ears were not circumcised. They weren't consecrated to God. They weren't committed to the things of God. I wonder in these days, I praise God, I'm so thankful for those that still love Him. Those that still are dedicated and committed their lives to Him. They're still, I know, that for as long as we walk this earth planet, God will indeed still have that remnant that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I know that. I'm confident of that. But as well, beloved, there's so few that are truly committed and consecrated today. We'd ask the question, where are the faithful today? Oh my, where are those whose whole heart it is to please God, to please Him, to honor Him and not themselves. There's so little commitment to the things of God. Oh yes, they're dedicated. There's many that are dedicated in these days. They're dedicated to their possessions. They're dedicated to their entertainment. Huh? They're dedicated to their jobs. It amazes me. Now I'm going to get, oh, I told you I'd get my foot right up in my mouth so easy. there's a tendency. They're dedicated to their jobs, right? Lay out a church to make sure they could be at the job on Monday? I don't understand that. I don't understand being more worried about my wallet than I am my God and my walk with Him. Where's our consecration to Him? Where are those that are dedicated and consecrated to God? As we said, don't misunderstand. I'm so thankful for those that are. So thankful for those that sacrifice for the things of God. So thankful for those in this church that have stayed by the stuff for generation after generation to see the work of God go forward here. So thankful. But why are we so few? Why are we so easily dissuaded from the path? Why is it so easy for us to get off that old path and under those untried and unproven paths that the world is continually wanting to open up to us? Oh, come on this away. Don't worry about what that Bible says. Don't worry about what that old preacher says. Come on with us. It's a whole lot more fun. And after all, we'll all get to glory someday. They'll get there their way. We'll get there our way. Beloved, I'm sorry. There's by the very nature, truth is truth. And if this is true, then those other ways are false. If they're true, then this is false. Two and two for me can't be two and two is five for you. Two and two is four. I'll get it right. Come on. Truth is truth by its nature, right? If one thing is true, then something else that is a contradiction to that must be false. Oh, Lord, help us. We so desperately need that those that would be consecrated to You. In verse 20 of our passage in Jeremiah 6, listen to this. It says, "To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me." What's God saying? Keep your sacrifices. Keep your worship. Don't bring that stuff to me and then live in open, clear disobedience to me. Don't go on in your foolishness and sin and then try to play church on Sunday. God say, "I don't want it." Keep it. Scares me to death, beloved. Frightens me. Have we got to the place where God would not receive our worship and would not want anything to do with us? I'm so thankful for the one that puts this water here for me. It's such a blessing. Take a sip of that when the throat gets a little dry. But you know, this evening it won't be quite the same. Gets to be a little bit room temperature along the way, and it doesn't have that same refreshment to it, does it? Gets lukewarm, just as John described that Ephesian church. Oh, we just once again return to the fire, the fervency of our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, oh my, might we turn to Him and express our gratitude and our love for that one who laid down His life for us. Who else would lay down His life for you and for me? And yet we take Him so for granted. Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy to me. In the verses here in Jeremiah and the rest of the prophets, God was continually warning Israel, warning Judah time and again, return to Me. Repent. Turn back to Me. Get back to the old paths, as Jeremiah described here. But Israel would not. They would not hearken, as we've read. They said, we will not walk in the way. What about us today, beloved? What about us? Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, I know, I realize where I've got off that path. I see in my life that I've got off of this way and that way. Yes, Lord, I see it. I recognize it. Forgive me. Amen. Forgive me. Help me, Lord, that I might walk with you. Beloved, that's what God spoke to these dear folk. Read with me here in chapter 7, verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house, proclaim there this word, and say. Here's what God would say to you and I today. Here's what God would say to believers today. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. You come here to worship me? God says, listen to this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. What's He say? Amend your ways. Repent. Amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. What's He saying? He's saying, Israel, Judah, repent. Turn from your wickedness. Turn from your abominations. Turn from your wicked ways. And I'll cause you to dwell in this place. What's He saying? Where did they live? They lived in the land of Canaan. They lived in the place that He had given to them. He lived in that place where He had promised their blessing. And what is He saying? Do right. Repent. Return unto me, and I'll bless you here. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ was pleased to die for our sins. He's pleased to deliver us from that bondage of sin. I'm so thankful today that I'm not here to lay out a plan for you. You do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. Don't do that, do this. In order to be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen. That indeed God's Son was left to portals of glory, all the place by the Father's right hand. Cain took upon himself a flesh and blood body, lived that sinless, perfect life for one reason. One reason. That he could die. Shed His blood for me. So that He could die to provide the forgiveness for you and for me that we couldn't get any other way. The requirement, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What should that do in me? Shouldn't that do something in me? Shouldn't that change something about me? Shouldn't that have an impact on my life? That day in 1974, December 1974, when I bowed in the living room of that little old rickety trailer that Marcia and I lived in, and I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. He came in the person of His Holy Spirit and took up residence in me. Oh my. I know I say it, I like to keep saying it. Would you mind if I say it one more time? Amen. He changed me that night. Amen. He changed me that night. And I have not got over it since. Amen. Oh yeah, there was a lot of folks said, don't worry about it, he'll settle down after a while. It's just another fad the young guy's going through. Thirty-seven years later, I haven't got over it yet. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I've not always been the salt and the light that I ought to be. But, oh God, I want to be. When I read this passage this week, God breaks my heart all the more. Hear about a young man going off into eternity today. I'm so thankful when I heard this week that he really did know he was, he knew he was saved. I'm so thankful. Huh? Aren't you grateful, beloved? Aren't you grateful for the cross of Calvary? So grateful for what Jesus Christ did for us. Shouldn't that gratitude produce something in this life? Shouldn't the lost and dying world that surrounds us on every side be able to see something about us? Rather than pointing the finger and saying, look at those Christians. Look at those folks. What hypocrites. What fools they are. But beloved, that if we live what we believe, what we say we believe, it'll make an impact on these communities in which this church resides. Begin to see a people that aren't fussing and fighting with each other, but is falling in love with their Savior and with each other. What kind of impact would that kind of salt have in this community? What kind of change would that kind of light have in Lake Worth and North Fort Worth, beloved? Oh, I'm pleading with God in these days. I'm thankful for what God's doing. Thankful for each one, everyone. Thankful for God to be pleased to bring visitors our way today even. Amen. But I'm praying, oh God, please, please protect this church. Amen. Keep us, Lord, in your will. Help us to not take for granted your blessings. Huh? Oh my, I'm so thankful that God would be pleased to add to our church. Again and again and again and again. God blows my mind. But folks, when is it okay to become at leisure? When is it okay to back off and relax? Jesus said, occupy till I come. Amen. Might we be faithful till we hear the trump? Let's stand together, beloved. Father, it's... It's our heart's desire to just fall before you. Ask you to speak to our hearts. Deal with us, Lord. It's been a difficult morning for us, but so ever much more difficult for the Holland family. Please go to them. But Lord, speak to hearts here. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Do for us today. Might we see our wonderful, wonderful God, His mercy, His grace. Lord, thank you that you don't give us what we deserve, but we're pleased to give your only begotten Son so that we might have that precious, beautiful forgiveness of sin and life in Christ. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Lord, I pray that that beautiful, beautiful life would show up in my life, our lives. Lord, please help us to be the salt, the light you've designed who purposed us to be. I pray for souls here today. Lord, I pray that You might deal with folk. Indeed, there might be some here today that don't know Christ as their Savior. Don't know You, Lord. Please. Please get past the frailties and the weaknesses of the preacher. And hold up Your beloved, beautiful Son. They might fall in love with this One who loved them so much. Oh God, they might see His goodness, His grace. We love You, Lord. We love You. We love You because You first loved us. We ask, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 164.
The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and its grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep is its fountain, as wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for You. There's room at the cross for You. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for You. Though millions have found Him a friend, and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for You. There's room at the cross for You. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for You. The hand of my Savior is strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for You. There's room at the cross for You. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for You.
Amen. You can be seated. As I continue to pray here, I just wanted to say a couple things. Marcia and I won't be in the foyer afterwards. We're going to just leave immediately and go over to the Hollands, as I'm sure you understand. Brother Chuck, if Chuck will be if you'll be there in the foyer to help folks as they leave. And we'll go ahead and leave as I leave the pulpit. So, but please, of course, be in prayer for the Hollands today. God's mercy on their behalf. Brother Hudson went on ahead. So did Tammy and Gerardo. And please, just God's good. God's a great God. He's sure. He's able to meet every need. I'm so thankful, Brother Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, we'll receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Lord, thank you for the wonderful message we've heard today, Lord, about getting back to the old paths. Lord, help us be able to search our hearts and ourselves and know for certain that we know for you without a shadow of a doubt as our Savior. Lord, be it this offering about to receive, be it the gift and the giver. Lord, right now especially be it the Holland family. Help us be able to show them love and compassion like they really need right now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We do have a few announcements we need to go over. Next Sunday, the new members who's joined recently, if you have not had your pictures taken for the directory, in the hallway behind the auditorium, there's a little room here. We're going to take your picture, so wear your picture-taking clothes and smile real pretty. The kids who stand for the Valentine's party afterwards, the juniors, the little folks, they're going to be in the gym. They're not going to be in the regular classroom, even if they're not staying for the party. So if they're not going to stay, you need to pick them up. They're going to be in the gym. The apologetics class is going to be this week, Monday through Friday, from 7 to 10 each week. And if you're not taking it for credit, come and come and sit in on that class if you can. I do believe it would be a great blessing for you. Over on the opposite page, though, what can I do? Look over that. Pray about it. See if there's something that you could maybe pitch in a little bit. Sometimes many hands make light work. So I tell you what, you want to pray, Mr. Mrs.?
Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you again this afternoon, Lord, we just pray for your grace and your mercy. Lord, be with the Holland family and comfort them. Lord, I pray for us, Lord, and your will, Lord, that you'll have your will done in our lives. Help us to live a life that would please and glorify you. Lord, protect us on our way home, Lord. Be with us the rest of this evening as we, again, will open up your word and hear what you have to say to us. And for we ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.